Hello.
Good morning.
Not morning anymore, Tim.
Oh, good afternoon. That's right.
Good afternoon. How was your weekend?
How about you? Did you go camping?
Yeah, you're two for two. That campsite was amazing. We camped at the one at the very end of the road. And so we had a gorgeous view of Dome Peak and of the, it was beautiful.
Did you have to drive across Egeria Creek?
We did drive across a creek. It was very, very low, though. It wasn't. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah.
But on the way back out, we had a flat tire. That was really a bummer. So I'm going to be replacing my spare with a full size spare because driving that road back out on a spare was really unfortunate.
Yeah, that was Don and I actually went up Saturday night to take the horses up, and I spent the night. When we got there, got a text message that from our neighbor that one of our stud horse had broken out of his corral and had ripped to shreds one of our other horses, and I mean literally, it was pretty ugly. It was pretty close to thinking about putting that horse down. Fortunately, we were able to take it into the vet, and it'll only be several thousand dollars to keep a $1,000 horse alive. So, but that was as busy as I've ever seen it up there. There were more people camped up there than I was worried that you wouldn't have found a nice place to camp because so many people were up there.
Yeah, you know, we went on 910 or 915 or whatever that road is. And then, we were right where the, you know, where it ends and it turns into the trail.
Yep.
And it's interesting, as we came in, we were like, man, there aren't very many camping sites in here. And what we realized is that road's only been open since like June 14th. And so everything was just overgrown. You couldn't see where they were.
Well, good. I'm glad you got up there because that is a beautiful spot.
It was so beautiful. And it was great. Thank you for the heads up.
Good. All right. Mark, are you ready to give us your update?
I am, commissioners. Good morning. Good afternoon. And I did join you for the majority of the call today with the Western Delegate, Western District members of CCI. Very interesting conversation, and I thought very enlightening the discussion about the ERP, Beth, that you prompted, where there was it appeared to me just a full lack of any understanding about the program, its purpose, even with Rio Blanco counting. I think I know that guy.
Did I get it right, mostly, based on what we know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because I'm just like, baffling.
And I think Hillary's comments were enlightening because she said, yeah, this person was going to come in and help us, but we don't know how much help that was going to be and whether that was going to be directed in the right way. So I think, again, as we've talked about, the fact that there's a more detailed and intensive dialogue at a state level about what's going on with this program, I think that's really, really important going forward.
I think John Swartout's comments at the end hit the thing right on the head. I mean, we got the silos growing up and they're all siloed up, man. We're just taking care of our budget, you know, and we got to make sure we have control in our silos. So, well, then to make sure that silo's not doing the same thing somebody else is doing in another department. So it's
absolutely
just like, and then to try to interact that with having, you know, some local input and local control on it too, you know, so it's like, really, come on. So, yeah, I don't know. you know, it's always good. DOLA's a great partner, and they understand all these things. And we very seldom have these opportunities to talk to CDPHE, and we as commissioners probably don't get to talk that too much to OEM either, because that's more of our emergency managers and the rest of those people that talk with them too. So anyhow, right. Good conversation.
It was interesting. I went to their website earlier this morning, and there's actually an individual who I think is in charge of accountability for that program, and it might be good to send him an email.
Yeah, we'll continue to do our follow-up on that and keep you posted.
You're muted, Mark. You're muted.
Sorry, hit that by mistake. So a couple of the things, Commissioner, that I wanted to cover this morning, and then, of course, as always, leave time for not only talking about those items, but anything else that you may feel is of interest right now and importance for us to talk about. But you may recall, and we visited briefly, ever so briefly, about this last week. We are approaching the time frame when I think it's appropriate that we have a conversation about this current fiscal year 20, and where we are relative to our projections, our current revised projections in terms of where we think we're trending for this current fiscal year. And as a very important corollary to that, also a discussion about where we think that we need to be in terms of any potential changes to staffing. So what Dan and I will do is, again, update all those numbers and give you the most up-to-date, you the commissioners, the most up-to-date revenue projections that we've got going forward. And then I think that will be the basis for an important conversation about what we feel we need to do in terms of personnel resources going forward. Let me pause there for a second and see if there's either any feedback or any more specific instructions that you want to provide to me and Dan before we step into that process.
Step into it? Is that the phrase you wanted to use?
It is, especially since Doug was out with the cows this weekend.
Yep, there you go. We were stepping in a little. So yeah, I'm good. And again, I don't know. Just, and again, I'll go back to our goals and objectives. So, you know, the specifics of all of it, that's kind of one thing. But, you know, I just make sure we're agreeing on the goals and objectives, Mark. And so I'm all good with all that. So, and I don't even, you know, I guess pretty simple about those two. We just continue to provide a good service that we can in the most reasonable and responsible manner that we can and go from there. So,
yeah. And commissioners, I neglected to mention, I'm sorry, HR, human resources will, of course, be an important part of that dialogue as well. As Dan and I, again, begin to refine those numbers, we want to draw them in and talk a little bit more about where we stand relative to staffing across the board, where we've been in terms of requests for vacancy, filling some vacancies, and if we think that there's anything else in the queue that's coming up. Just give you a good snapshot of where we stand in terms of personnel resources and how it impacts the budget. That. Northwest Colorado contracts, we had, as you recall, a very good discussion about that on Friday. We got good direction from the commissioners in terms of where we want to travel with that, where we would ask to take over the majority, if not all, the contracts that had been delegated in some capacity to Northwest Colorado Health. So we sent the memorandum to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, and we got a response back very quickly, which simply said, as a point of clarification, please know that there will be some contracts that have to run their term before we can go ahead and make any switches. So they wanted to provide that clarification. Again, Beth, with your conversations with Jill, a recognition and an acknowledgement that this would be a more appropriate move on our part and one that they would support. They were simply pointing out to us that where we had some current contracts that had a certain term or length, we had to let those run through that particular term before we would anticipate any changes along those lines. So those are, that's the latest correspondence that we've gotten relative to that very important initiative going forward. Somewhat related to that, and Tim had a note this morning that he distributed. It sounds like we have an upcoming meeting with Moffitt County to talk about our split of public health duties. And we're trying to just identify a date and a time for that and make sure that we've got all the requisite parties that need to be there for that conversation. Tim, I don't know if you want to add anything else beyond those remarks.
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, I'm a little bit concerned that we're going into a meeting without any real agenda other than to have a discussion about where we're at. Number two, I just got off the phone with Don before this meeting started, and Don said that his attorney and his finance manager would not be available to meet with us this week. I told Don that I didn't really think that was really necessary for them to be present, that this was a preliminary conversation. And then finally, I'm kind of wondering, not that I'm trying to get rid of any duties, but if Beth might not be the more important party to have in that meeting. And don't get me wrong, I'm happy to do it. It's just that you've had that deeper involvement with CDPHE contracts and a deeper understanding of the relationship with the state. But I'm happy to go to this first meeting to just have the preliminary conversation, and then maybe, Beth, your involvement would be more helpful subsequent to that.
I'm happy to do whatever you guys want. I will just candidly, I'll say that honestly, if Don Cook wants to try to navigate this without Ray in the middle of it, I can probably handle that. If they want to try to throw Ray in there, I think it would probably be good for one of you guys to be involved. I mean, I get along great with Ray. I don't think it would be as productive. But if Don's going to handle it and he's going to handle his commissioners, then
that's where that's at right now.
But I personally don't agree with the process myself either.
Well,
I think all three of us need to meet with all three of them and say, hey, iron out the top. You know, the big objective is to say, well, this isn't working anymore. We're going to have an amenable separation here and then go on, versus having to finite and refine the situation of the dis. Yeah, well, I just don't think that's the right way to do it. But
so maybe
to address that, Doug, I'm having a little bit of cold feet about the process myself and not really having an agenda. And maybe that's all we accomplish in this meeting, is we set some kind of an agenda for a joint meeting between the commissioners.
I was going to say something similar. I'm with you, Doug, and I think part of the challenge, which we've said before, is they don't have a manager, which is fine. I mean, that's not the problem, but the problem is that Don has to be involved in the conversation, and then it's just awkward dealing with, like, Carrie reports directly to the commissioners in Moffitt County, and in Rout County, she reports to the manager. And so trying to navigate through that is a little tricky, but I actually agree that I think, Tim, if you can just have that initial meeting and figure out, let's get all six of us together and have a amiable divorce, a no-fault divorce proceeding, then I think that would probably be the best thing to do, rather than trying to behind the scenes do whatever.
I'm very comfortable with what we're at with it, where we're at. I just don't want to be sabotaging the system to the west of us here. I'd have a problem calling. I mean, it's kind of slimy too. I wouldn't have a problem at all calling, talking to Ray about it too. So it's the same, and he probably wouldn't have a problem with it either. So, and if that's what they want to do, I just don't want to be part of a situation that we're kind of undermining their relationship as well. So I'm perfectly comfortable with what we're at with our relationship. So on it.
So this meeting that's going to take place with Don and me and Mark and potentially some other people, it's just to outline the fact that the current arrangement is problematic for Rao County. At least we think it's probably problematic for Moffitt County as well. And we'd like to start the process to sketch out what that future looks like. And like I said, to develop an agenda for a joint meeting.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, Doug, I don't want to be in the middle of their politics either, but it's that theirs to deal with is kind of how I feel about it. And I think, you know, Don is the one who carry, you know, they have it divided up and public health is his. And so however he wants to deal with the other commissioners in that is probably up to him. I mean, I agree with you. I don't want to be in the middle of that either.
Mark, do you feel like we've got enough direction from Doug and Beth to be able to have a productive meeting on whatever? It's going to be, looks like Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
So right. I guess real quickly here before we go on, you know, right now we're sitting here in a situation where we've already acquiesced into that we need to separate the thing. So, and again, I just want to make sure that that's what we really want to have happen. I'm still not believing totally that we couldn't have a ramped up, better co-working situation with the whole thing. So, and I'm all right.
Doug, I think what we've acquiesced to is that Carrie Landro is no longer going to be working 2 days a week in Moffitt County. That Carrie Landro is primarily going to be working 5 days a week in Rao County. Would it be possible for her to still function as the public health director for Moffitt County under that arrangement? That may still be possible, given the resources.
That's still painting the picture before we know what the scene looks like. You know, I'm just saying that, you know, we still have the opportunity to say that we could still have a joint and prop up the whole system a little bit more.
I just
want to make sure that we don't go in there, well, we're done, we're going to be good.
No.
I just want to make sure that we're, you know, and I always like to analyze all the options out there and to make sure that, you know, there aren't some other options, especially if we weren't in COVID-19. So anyhow, and again, I'm good with the option that we're picking or whatever we're deciding. But again, we're picking that unanimously amongst ourselves, and so whatever the word is. Yeah.
Beth?
Well, what I would say is here's the information I think is critical. One is we have a recommendation from our public health director that she does not believe that a shared director is benefiting either county. I mean, we heard her say that. I'm inclined to agree with her from Rao County's standpoint, and I think we want to find out if Moffitt County agrees or not. I think proceeding with an assumption that it's better for Moffitt County or it's better for Rao County to have a shared director when our director is telling us she does not believe that that's the case, you know, is problematic in my mind. And so I think number one is, does Moffitt County agree or not? And we don't have to make a decision for Moffitt County about what's best for them. We need to go in and talk about what we believe is best for Rao County. And I don't believe it's best for Rao County for us to have a public health director who is totally stretched way thinner than is even remotely realistic. I don't think it's probably good for her to have to spend 2 hours, you know, 4 hours a week if she's spending 2 days over there driving rather than working when she's already working, you know, she told us 70 hours a week to navigate this whole thing. And I really think it's problematic from a management standpoint because she's an employee of Rao County and yet somehow she has to try to navigate this whole thing answering to the Moffitt County commissioners who really don't who really aren't her boss in a technical sense. I just think there's some management issues too. And I think all we need to go in with is saying, hey, we don't think what's happening right now is ideal. And I don't have any assumptions about how we have to proceed. I think we have a recommendation from Carrie that we figure out a way to no longer have a shared director situation. And that's, you know, that's what we have. I would imagine there's a benefit to continuing some kind of relationship with Moffitt County and some kind of partnership when it comes to public health, because our two communities are so connected, especially from a health standpoint. But I don't think we should assume that we know exactly what that looks like. We just know that Carrie has told us that we tried this for a year and she doesn't think it's working. And I believe her. I agree with her. And so I think figuring out what the best way to proceed is, I don't have any other assumptions, you know, except that Carrie has told us this isn't working. And I think she's right.
Mark.
I think we have enough information to have a productive conversation, Tim.
Thank you. All right. What else?
I wanted to make a comment on the contracts, because Mark commented on that. So Mark, I saw in your notes that, you know, you felt positive about the email that came back from CDPHE. And then I think you saw that I emailed and was like, all right, Karen, listen, this isn't really the direction we're headed. I guess here's where I'm at, is that my understanding is that a year ago when we took over public health, we indicated that we would be looking to take these contracts over. And then we sat around for almost a year and nothing happened. There was no change made. There was no follow-up. And I don't know whose fault that is, but that's what happened. And now here we are. And in 8 days, some of these contracts are up for renewal. And I interpreted Karen's email to mean, well, you may just have to wait another year on some of these. And that's not okay with me. Because any contract that is meant to go to the local public health agency should go to us. And if they gave it to Northwest Colorado Health, that was their mistake and they need to figure out how to fix it. And I get that there are some of these, which CDPHE did tell us, told me and Carrie and Don when we met, there are some of these contracts that are awarded through a competitive process. And Northwest Colorado Health was recently awarded those. And we understand that you have to wait until the next cycle. And I know that Carrie is already, she had indicated that she's already talking with the managers for those programs just to understand what would be required if it made sense for us to apply or not. But other than the, I think it's two contracts that are competitive. Other than those two, I really think we're gonna have to keep pushing on this, because what I see is that we talked about this a year ago and then it just sat around. And then I'm just worried that they have already renewed some of those contracts with Northwest Colorado Health effective July 1, and that they're telling us, well, you know, try again next year. So I guess I don't think we get to give CDPHE the benefit of the doubt anymore. They have not been a good partner on this. They've not been helpful except when we push them. And so my opinion is that if the contracts are intended for the local public health agency, then, and they awarded them to Northwest Colorado Health, that is their mistake and they need to figure out how to fix it. So I don't know if anyone has any other comments on that, but that, I feel like we have to say that loud and clear, or they're just going to say, well, we'll see you again next July.
Well, especially because in essence, they're the one that forced us into this taking out public health. I mean,
they did.
Crazy, so.
Yes.
No, your frustration is justified. And maybe the question needs to be asked, well, maybe you don't want us to take over public health if you're not going to take care of these contracts with us. We'll just give it back to Northwest Colorado Health.
Sir, how you pay for public health. That's how the system is meant to work. And so to make us do public health and then give that money to somebody else doesn't make any sense. None. So I think we have to keep pushing them, Mark, because.
So what does that mean? Yeah, pushing them. So well, I mean, you can't throw Mark under the bus here,
no,
too.
No, no, no.
We need to come up with a letter or something, you know, come up with a firm position from our part. So, and I don't disagree at all, but.
I'll forward you what I sent. I'm not trying to throw Mark under the bus, just he's the one who sent the letter to CDPHE and got the response. And then I responded to the response. So I'll forward you guys what it said. But I this is where I think there has been a benefit in having me and Don directly involved to be able to say to these folks, like, hey, listen, cut it out and stop giving our staff the runaround on this, because that's what they've been doing. And that's what they've been doing the last year, before that even.
That's why commissioners are always should need to be at the table. Not all three of us, but they need
not
to be
on the table. I'll make sure we're not on the table, Doug. That's my job. So anyway, Mark, those were my two cents about the email response we got regarding contracts. And maybe I misread what she was saying, but we already knew that there were some of those that were competitive. Fine. But what are you going to do about all the other ones? Like,
well, Beth, with that good background information, we'll get on the phone with them, Carrie and I, we'll walk through and say, let's identify each of these. And you tell us, you know, what the contract renewal period is and why or why not we can't get this click now as opposed to later. And of course, that will be our main intent, to say we want to engage as quickly as we can most of these contracts coming over to Rout County, and not have to wait and have to be pushing this out for a year again. So we'll push hard. We'll push
hard. Mark, just one other thing though, we already did that. We met with Deborah, who then ended up leaving CDPHE. This keeps happening.
Right. Got it.
She put together a spreadsheet for us that has the list of all the contracts and the renewal date. She emailed all the program managers for each of those contracts to say, you need to award this contract to Rout County. And then still nothing. Is sort of what I have gathered. So I don't know. I mean, we just have to keep at it, I guess. I don't know what else to say.
Okay, you bet. Well, but, and again, Beth, that's good background information. I didn't know that in the last go round that you'd gotten to that level of effectiveness.
It was this go round, Mark. Literally like 2 weeks ago. So I'll forward you what we have. But I agree with you that that's the right follow-up is like, when are you going to send us these contracts to sign? Like, right. Because we should, I mean, like I said, they go into effect 8 days from now. So right. Seems like time's up.
Did we miss a shipment from the mail? Is that what we missed?
Yes, I don't know. Got lost in the mail. Lost in the mail. So I'll forward you the most recent spreadsheet we have, Mark. I'll CC Carrie on that. I mean, Carrie's been involved in this conversation.
You bet. Sounds good.
And let me know how I can help. I can.
Okay. Well, Beth, I know you enjoy a good relationship with Jill, and that's good that we use that to the best of our abilities. You bet.
Beth, maybe you should make yourself clear to these people what you mean.
You know, I think, Tim, maybe what I need is like a dude repeating everything I say so that they hear me.
I'm gonna throw this to Doug, but and this is one of the expressions that I picked up. Let them know the way the cow eats cabbage. And I don't know, Doug, are you familiar with that expression at all?
No, I don't know.
How does a cow eat cabbage?
My cows don't eat cabbage. If they're eating cabbage, I'm in trouble.
Really loudly? Is that what it's supposed to mean? I can imagine a cow eating cabbage, and it would probably be really loud, right?
No, they don't eat cabbage. That's the point.
Mm, okay. Oh, yeah. So that's probably a Wyoming thing, Mark. We're good.
Okay. Like it.
Well, and then also, If you have somebody that's trouble that's got a homemade jug band, the supposedly you ask them to play the song boil the cabbage backwards. That's another one that has cabbage in it.
Those guys get too much wind up there.
That's right. That's right. So, commissioners, you know, we also visited recently with the presentation from Kathy from HR about the comp time vacation accrual. Again, just to let you know, I had a follow-up with the department heads last Thursday, re-emphasized the importance that they ensure that their staff members, their employees, are aware that we've got a current policy, that we want to enforce that policy, we want to adhere to that policy, excuse me, and that we've got a lot of good notice for everybody to work very diligently to work those times down. So I think we've got enough time and the message delivered that we can be in a much better spot when we get towards the end of that accrual period at the end of the year. As a follow-up, I want to let you know, and this is another item that we talked about within the HR realm, we have sent a small spreadsheet to each and every department head, letting them know where they stand relative to personnel evaluations. In other words, we've got their employees listed that they're responsible for doing those evaluations. We tell them about when the last time the evaluation was done and what they've got that right now is in the queue that is overdue that needs to be submitted. So that has been sent out within the last 24 hours. So just an appropriate follow-up on that same discussion that we had very recently in that realm. Reopening of the county.
Hold on, Mark.
Go ahead, Tim.
First of all, thanks for both of those items. And maybe just, I'm a little worried that the messenger took a couple of bullet wounds when she came up here and visited us with it last week. And just let her know that we weren't trying to shoot the messenger, that we really appreciate the fact she brought that forward. And she ended up bearing the brunt of some of my frustration. And I felt a little bad about that. So,
all good. And Kathy knows that. But I'll certainly pass along the follow-up message, Tim. Thanks for that. You bet. The reopening of the annex in terms of the county facilities, as I mentioned in my note, we've really truly, all things considered, I think we've had success with what has been the protocol for the historic courthouse. We want to have that same good recipe going forward for the annex. And so what we've done is visited again with the department heads and even more specifically those department heads in the annex to say, what are we comfortable with in terms of our process and procedure going forward for opening that up to members of the public that may want to access those offices. So what we've done is we've developed a plan with their support. And what we'd like to do is identify the date of July 6th as far as when we'd make that official. We think that that's enough time to go ahead and work through all of the particulars and the nuances. If we do need to do some additional signage, if we do have any other physical improvements we make, that we can do all of those things and have it prepared by July 6th, that Monday following the 4th of July holiday. It's my understanding that the city of Steamboat Springs is going to reopen City Hall and the associated facilities. They're aiming for the first week of July, and so their date may also be that July 6th date. So we'd be in lockstep with them going forward, and I think that would also be helpful for the public at large.
I'm happy to
answer any questions on that.
By the way, did any of you see the executive order that the governor put out, I think on Saturday, requiring anybody visiting governmental facilities in the state of Colorado has to wear a face mask?
So that's good to have as initial reinforcement, Tim. Of course, we'd have our own public health orders that we stringently follow, but it's good to have also the backing of a state order as well. You bet. I have a hearing on Wednesday.
Mark, on that,
go ahead, Doug.
Before you leave that, yeah, if you could, please. So when you talked about that at the department head meeting, was there anybody that felt like they needed to have something else? I mean, we did set up the plexiglass screens for the motor vehicle and the rest. Are there any other departments that think that they need to have that moving forward. And again, I'm not advocating for that, but we do want it comfortable for the people that are working there. Not comfortable, but not stressful.
Right.
So just how, so Doug, I probably didn't hear about this.
Excellent question. So that's exactly what facilities planning is doing this week, is to make sure that we redouble those efforts in terms of checking with every office to say, are there any of those things that you need? Anything that's going to give you a better comfort level and your employees, if you have members of the public that are starting to access the building on a more regular basis. So that due diligence is going on this week. And if we need any of those improvements, we feel like we're in a good position to have them in there by July 6th.
Sorry. So similar question. So how are we feeling about, are we going to be opening up our meeting rooms as well? Because there's a lot of people itching or just craving to have in-personal meetings, and trying to have in-personal meetings that have space enough to be able to social distance and the rest around a table and the rest. And so our Upper Yampa is having, so anyhow, we're fighting the same thing. We kind of want to have a meeting. We want to be legit and be a social distance, but we're having a struggle and hard time to find spaces big enough to do that. And then I'm sympathetic. Well, every time we do that too, we have to go through the special cleaning protocol to clean the room back up as well too. So we don't want to just, well, so yeah, you guys can come all in, come on down, man. We're all good. Come on in. But we have some additional responsibilities if we do that as well. So I just want to keep that on a radar screen. I don't want to mess things up, and I don't want to complicate our discussion that we're having here, but that'll be one of the next things. Everybody's looking for a place. Well, we heard it in the Western District meeting this morning.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, we're trying to find a place. So, well, is there a place that we can meet and have 6 feet across in front of us in spacing? So anyhow, I don't need to have any answers or anything. I just keep it on everybody's mind.
Well, Doug, it's a good conversation, because that's probably going to come sooner as opposed to later. And so if you would please continue to give us your feedback of when you feel like an appropriate time frame would be there to for us to begin to think about those things. Now, you're right, Doug, when we talk about something after hours and to use some of these public spaces, then that means that we've got to be careful about our protocols and our cleanups and our sanitation and all those other things that come with it. And you've also probably also been privy to the conversations about security. That was one of the reasons why we felt that the card troll system, the electronic system, the locking system was an improvement over what we have now, which is just that single key, turn it in, pick it up, and then have access to the rest of the building when you're in any of the county facilities. So we'd sure like to think that we're moving in a place where we're going to be able to have a better security system for when we also begin to open this up for members of the public to use the county facilities.
So on this subject, the idea of the county commissioners meeting in person again, and I understand that symbolically that would probably be an important thing for us to do, but on the other hand, me being in a vulnerable population, you know, I should be taking steps to avoid contact. And we've heard a lot about that there's a responsibility on people my age to avoid that. Knowing that Commissioner Melton has childcare issues with a closed childcare center, and practically speaking, what is it that we cannot accomplish via Zoom meetings that we would accomplish with in-person meetings? So I'm not saying we need to decide about this today, but I'm sure that at a certain point, some of our constituents are going to say, hey, how come you guys aren't meeting in person?
So I think Doug was maybe also just referring to allowing the public to use our meeting rooms
Oh no, I know. Yes.
Yeah, I have a couple comments. The first, what I've made before, which is that I actually think our virtual meetings are much more accessible to our constituents than our in-person meetings ever have been. I would feel a little bit differently if we had a robust audiovisual setup, if it was really easy to call in and hear. We've heard that the quality of the phone-in setup that we have is questionable. We've never been able to or allowed people to make public comment over the phone. So I don't think we're set up to allow the kind of access that we would want in the courthouse building. And so I'm inclined for us to continue meeting virtually. And then in the same vein, I guess what I would say is, in my mind, we're not out of the woods as far as this virus is concerned. And I think people want us to be out of the woods. I want us to be out of the woods. I woke up this morning and was like, God damn, aren't we done with this thing yet? You know, I mean, we all feel that way. But the reality is that we know that there is a very real possibility of another wave coming as we get into fall, et cetera. I just think we should be the rule. You know, we should model what we want people to do, which is avoid in-person interactions when possible. And so if it's working to meet virtually, I think we should. I don't feel prepared to open our meeting rooms because I think it sends the wrong message to the community. If you can keep meeting virtually, do it from a public health standpoint. That should be the message, and we should be sending that message consistently. And I don't see a huge benefit in letting people come into the building and meet in person. It might make people feel good that they, you know, are seeing each other in person, but there's no economic benefit, in my opinion. I don't know. That's where I'm at personally. I think we should keep talking about it, but I don't think the time is now to consider reopening for people to have in-person meetings in the building.
So I don't disagree with anything you said there, and I'm comfortable with our Zoom meetings, but there are, so we're interviewing, you know, like six different candidates or something for a new general manager position. So there's no way I feel as comfortable doing that over the a Zoom meeting as I would do or, you know, just sitting across the table. So, you know, I do think there's some benefits there, and you're right. I think actually our accessibility to the commissioners and to our meetings and being live Zoomed, I think we need to put in the requisition for next year's budget somebody to help with my facial appearance, but you know, we're all right. Other than that, Kendra's got a point.
I do. Doug, I would just say one other thing. I mean, I guess in general, I think it's possible that we could consider on a case-by-case basis, you know, and require a very specific plan, that sort of thing. But the idea of just like, let's reopen and let people use our meeting rooms, I don't feel terribly comfortable with. But, you know, what you're saying, if there's, consider it an event, right? Like there's a specific thing where there's a compelling reason to use the rooms and there, you know, a good mitigation plan in place for that event. I would be open to that in general.
We could treat that just like we do people requesting the use of the courthouse lawn.
Well, and I was all right with the thought, because we're going to have added costs on here for mitigation. And that's not our responsibility to provide a public, you know, it's, you know, if we have a facility, it's a kind of, we need to keep it open for the facility for our, let our citizens use it, but it's not at zero cost. And so if I'm not using it, somebody else needs to use it and I'm having to pay for it, I don't think I need to have to pay for that. So that group needs to figure out how to pay for that somehow, that added mitigation. So I don't want to talk, I apologize for bringing it up, really, but I kind of want to, as we're talking about opening up our world here, we do need to have this conversation, because some people in some places and our county facilities are very good facilities, and I'm proud to be able to share them and use them, but they shouldn't be at my expense in to let somebody else to use those and figure out how that's figured into the cost of the rental or whatever is the deep cleaning that needs to happen to keep it safe. So,
well, it sounds like we're in agreement that the answer is not yet. And that we have, right. Am I getting that right?
But I want to hear from Kendra. I think she has something to offer here.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and some of the discussions that we've had before in regards to the meeting rooms opening and talking with facilities, you know, right now our bathrooms and everything up here are only being cleaned twice a day. And if we were to open the meeting rooms to the public, I would have concerns about the cleaning, how they're being cleaned. I know that facilities had mentioned that as we do start opening that, that might kind of be a barrier to them is the staff that we have for cleaning and bringing in extra cleaners and things like that. I also know that most of the meetings that happen here, there's food involved, shared food, they're using the kitchen. So typically after the meetings happen at night, me and Deanna are going in and cleaning up after the groups that are in there, rearranging tables, cleaning the kitchen, running the dishwasher, bathrooms are a mess. So that's definitely a big consideration in regards to opening meeting rooms again.
Okay, not now. That's what we're saying. Mark?
Just a couple last quick items, commissioners, and they're both really on a scheduling note. One is the fact that given a personnel hearing that I've got on Wednesday, I'll be in that from 8 until at least noon. So that will not allow me to participate in both your BCC call and also your, I'll try and catch up with your Board of Health call as that starts up at 11:30, if that's gonna be on that regular timeframe. Kendra, is that, will the BOH call change? Because I know that there's an adjustment that is being anticipated for the BCC meetings. Is the BOH time going to change as well?
Yeah, we're still waiting to hear back from Carrie on what her availability is for timing. Once we have that, then we'll know if she's able to change or needs to leave it as is. We were going to try to move her up earlier, but we just haven't heard back yet.
Yeah.
So I've actually talked to Carrie.
Speak up, Deanna, right into the microphone.
Can you hear me?
As loud as you can, Deanna.
Okay, I think I'm going to do chat instead. My computer doesn't work for audio.
Nope, we can't hear you, Deanna. Communicate with Kendra, and then she'll say what you're saying.
So I want to remind you guys that I do have our Just Transition meeting at 1. Obviously, I can be a little late, but if we can keep moving along, that would be great.
Yeah. The second scheduling item, Tim, is the fact that I need to go take care of some personal business on my existing house up in Wyoming. And so those dates that I indicated that I have to be out of town. And I don't know in the past when maybe before you had a deputy manager and it was Tom in a singular position, whether or not there was, you allowed your county manager to delegate to an existing staff member some of those on-site roles and responsibilities. I know I've been in that protocol in the past when it's only me as a single city manager, but I want to get feedback from the commissioners in terms of what you've followed in the past.
So in the past, there were times when Tom would be gone for a couple of days, but he would be in regular telephone and email contact, and he would not appoint somebody. Other times when he was gonna be at conferences or truly on vacation, before we had a deputy county manager, he did in fact delegate that authority to one of the department directors.
You bet. And I'm comfortable, I can be in contact, Commissioner, so that's not a problem. So maybe for now we'll leave it at that protocol, and it won't be a problem whatsoever. There's going to be no problem in terms of that communication, both by email and by phone. You bet. And then the last thing is, Tim, just to let you know, I did do a follow-up with the municipalities relative to letting them know that the indication from the commissioners was that they should all be expecting to complete their own form that's going to go into the DOLA portal relative to the CARES Act funding so that they could just do all appropriate arrangements for that going forward.
Well, maybe that would be a good segue to Eric.
Hey, you caught me off guard there. So I'm playing around here on Zoom trying to figure out how to put a picture up and stuff. I'm learning that I'm either incapable of learning something new or really don't want to, and subconsciously it's not allowing me to.
No, I think Kendra has to actually provide that ability to you. I don't think screen sharing is not automatic unless you've been given that by the...
I'm not trying to screen share.
I'm just trying to load a profile picture and stuff. And she already volunteered to help.
Okay.
This old fool. So I have a short list. I wanted to, remind you all that House bill, I think it was 1093 concerning licensure of short-term rentals was signed into law. That was way back in March, but it's been on my list to talk to you all about. I guess it's moot until short-term rentals are no longer prohibited in the unincorporated Route County, but it's just another item to keep in mind in future discussions. So that is law now. It's actually really, really quite simple, just basically gives the Board of County Commissioners authority to license and collect fees for regulation.
Was that specific to short-term rentals or was that just a business licensing?
It was specific to rentals.
They wouldn't want to give us too much control and authority there, Tim. You know, that might have been a little bit over the top.
I've attended several meetings, including last week, regarding ongoing opioid litigation. Just kind of want to stay in touch with where all this is going. The major case that I'm keeping my eye on is in Ohio, and that court keeps feeding out back to its original jurisdictions when there are going to be proceedings, like a trial and those kinds of things. Ultimately, the Ohio court, though, is controlling what I'll just globally call settlement attempts. And you don't have to be a member of a lawsuit in order to potentially gain from a settlement. And I think that's the last update that I've given you and that CCI basically gave you. And so nothing new there, but what I would like to stress as there's an upcoming meeting with the Attorney General here in Colorado that I think you probably have notice of from CCI, is that we provide a letter of support for the Colorado Coalition. What they're trying to accomplish here is to allow plaintiffs to recover that aren't actually plaintiffs, potential plaintiffs, and that's the category that I would put Route County in right now, at least. And then furthermore, and I think more importantly for now, is that any sort of distribution be made to local governments rather than the state. Fact is, could there be a split or hybrid of that? Maybe, but at least for now, I think you've already voiced to me that obviously the county is in the best spot to distribute any funds pursuant to an ultimate settlement. So I'd like to forward you some language that I've come up with over the weekend. It's very, very short. And for you to consider moving that forward onto your letterhead, signing and sending. I still got to figure out who's the best recipient, but while that's occurring, we could move the letter forward on the agenda process. So if you're all right with that, I'll just send you an email with the language that I would propose, and you can, between the three of you, tinker and toy with it as you see fit. And if you agree, then maybe have it added to an action item for ultimate signature by the board.
Eric, can you see us nodding our heads when we nod our heads?
I can see you today, yes.
Okay, good. I'm just
Eric, should I assume that one or more of us should probably plan to attend that CCI meeting just to hear the information, or do you think that's not necessary? I saw that managers and attorneys are also invited to attend.
Right. I would appreciate if you get notices like that, that you go ahead and forward them to me. I did get that one, but sometimes they're not sending it to a full list of attorneys. So you don't need to forward that one to me because I have that one. I plan on attending it. Sometimes my schedule interferes with it, but I'm in pretty close contact with Ron Carl, who represents Arapahoe County. He's their county attorney, and they're actually involved directly in litigation. So he and I chat quite frequently about status updates and whatnot. And he was actually the one that recommended that we send a letter of support to the coalition. So the answer to your question is, please feel free to join. Understand that I'm making every attempt to attend those meetings, and we'll keep you informed if there's anything new. A lot of it is statistics, updates on various court cases across the country. I don't think any of that stuff interests you necessarily. I shouldn't speak for you, but I try to get to the nuts and bolts and give you an update when it may or may not impact Rouse County, or if there's something to do, like sending a letter or something like that.
Sounds good.
Head nods, so I'll move on. Every day is
interesting. So real quickly, when we get down here closer, that all sounds great, Eric. Again, I'm struggling with what our damages are and what us, the county, damages are and how we disperse that and being an agent and the rest. And so I'm all good with that. But as we move forward into this, as we get closer, whatever, some memo for education for us would be a good idea for me, at least. Thank you.
Well, I can tell you there's been a formula that's been developed. It's not confirmed yet, but it's one that's been toyed with. And this is to settle both actual litigation claims and then what I've lumped into this potential plaintiff pool. And there's a website that describes hypothetically, of course, everything depends on how much the ultimate settlement is for, right? In order to get to the distribution. But there's a formula that was applied, and you can actually see Rouse County, how much money Rouse County would get if the settlement were, say, X, right? So it is still hypothetical. I haven't shared that. I haven't gone out of my way to share that because it's been part of CCI discussions, and it's really just hypothetical at this point. And I'd hate for you to kind of hang your hat on that. I'd like to bring up the agenda. Last week we spoke a little bit on Friday and then a couple days prior to that in trying to come up with a way to have this rolling, what I call a rolling docket, a rolling agenda, which I think works great where you're situated, where you log in at 10 o'clock or 10:30 and you go until you're done. And that makes sense. And a lot of courts or administrative courts use that process. I can speak for myself, though, when I go, for example, to the BAA down in Denver, they use a rolling docket. You have to show up at 8:30 and there's four, maybe five cases scheduled for that day. And it could be that you end up sitting there until 4 o'clock that afternoon before your case is called. And you could probably understand how frustrating that is, especially if it's an action item for where you all are concerned. So I get both sides to it, and I'm trying to come up with a compromise or a hybrid situation. And I emailed with Kendra and Deanna and Linnea last week, and they gave me some feedback on that, as well as Commissioner Melton has also chimed in or talked about having people available, maybe not sitting around for 8 hours, but maybe sitting around for tops 15 minutes. And that seems reasonable. I just bring it up just because we kind of left it open-ended on what we were going to do, and invite you all to to share your concerns or your ideas. And Kendra's here listening intently, I'm sure. Deanna too.
Hey, Eric, beyond what you've presented to us so far, do you have anything else of large importance, do you think we can excuse Commissioner Melton to get to her meeting now?
Goodbye, Commissioner Melton.
See you tomorrow, Beth.
Yeah, make sure you make all the tough decisions without me so that I can blame you guys.
All right. Decisions during my presentation time. It's not action.
Sounds good. All right, I'll see you all tomorrow morning. Thank you for your flexibility.
Thank you. Carry on, Eric.
Well, that's really all I had. I've heard from Commissioner Melton about what her concerns are. She favors, or appears to favor, a window where people are supposed to call in, but they call in 15 minutes ahead of time with the anticipation that the board needs to move through its agenda, get through the day. Maybe all of that is too much of a discussion to have all at once, and we start with how you all want to move forward. My impression has been that these daily meetings, with the exception of Saturdays and Sundays, have been pretty productive. And you don't go all day, like you used to have Mondays and Tuesdays from 8 till close. And maybe these daily things are working out for you all. And it gives you the opportunity to have them short of 5 o'clock, so 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, go straight through and get a lot of work done. Plus, it gives you the opportunity to just check in daily as new things happen, especially where COVID-19 is concerned. What does happen, the danger of just not scheduling things at certain times is what happened with PDR last week, right? We have people either not calling in in a timely way, or joining late and having missed half of the conversation or more. So I would invite you all to have feedback prepared and also discuss amongst yourselves what's gonna work for you. I'm still seeing everything as the short term, but I'm also seeing here some opportunities maybe to move into a different system altogether. Again, my impression is that these daily Monday through Friday meetings or Monday through Thursday meetings maybe could potentially work long term and open up your schedule, open up the ability for staff to submit action items and not just have Tuesdays to do that. That I think has been extremely valuable for folks who want to get contracts on the agenda, don't have to fight for agenda time and don't have to wait from week to week, right? They only have one day a week to get them on board. Kendra, you're not shaking your head, but sounds like you might have some valuable feedback there too.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think the feedback from department heads has definitely been positive, that it's been a lot easier to get onto the agenda, things like that. A couple of things that are a little bit more difficult for us now is that before we did have that 1 week deadline. So if you wanted to be on the agenda for Tuesday, you had to get your items in the Tuesday before, which was requested by the commissioners. So you guys would have time to review packets. Deanna had time to get everything prepared. Right now it's been, that has gone to the wayside. People are submitting things the day before. Some agendas are getting put up only 24 hours before with the documents. So it's a lot more rushed work on our end on that. But it's also because it's spread out, it doesn't take as long. We're not doing a whole week of an agenda for one day. It's spread out bit by bit. It's definitely, different doing it every day. But like you said, it's a lot shorter, it's spaced out. I don't know if you guys want to go back to doing, action items on certain days, and on those days we stick to a time frame, or maybe the action items are at the beginning or action items at a certain time. But yeah, it definitely has been a lot of feedback from people where they don't know what time, they don't know when things are going to be discussed. And I've just been telling them, you just have to log in and listen. So
So yeah, I'm comfortable with us moving to another place and figuring out what that all is. I do believe, and I would rather see a little more regimented, especially in our action items, so that maybe even we're having discussions, we table the action, the discussion part, and actually go to the agenda items maybe. And again, if I was a citizen, John Q, public, and want to sit on the meeting and the rest and hear what I wanted to hear, I wouldn't want to have to sit through 3 hours. And again, I don't know that we need to be to the half hour precise, but I do think we need to be able, and I don't want to be us sitting here, all of us, the collective whole bunch of investment that the county has, waiting for an item, well, that's coming up, well, it's going to be coming up, well, it's 45 minutes from now, so we'll take a temporary time out here or whatever. So a little more regimented with the time frame on the agenda items is good with me. I just want to make sure, and I'm been very comfortable with the meetings, the daily meetings. I'm glad we're not meeting Saturday and Sunday. We're not having crises anymore so bad that we need to meet Saturday and Sunday. But, and again, so if we can get into, we all kind of have this kind of thing right now too, is that we're trying to figure out, I mean, I have like 4 or 5 other meetings that we try to get scheduled in on as well. I mean, between AGNC and my Upper Yampa meetings and, you know, and all the other things that we have our shared responsibilities in, and trying to timeline things out. Anyhow, so I'm a little more regimented would be fine. I don't need to be by the half hour or whatever and we're done. No, we got to leave that right now. But when we're having some great discussions, I appreciate having the good discussions too. So
I think the 5 days a week has been really beneficial. It does allow us to catch up with things on a really timely basis. I think Kendra, it seems to me it would be easy enough on the with the department directors not getting their stuff till the last second. I can understand why a week out in front was probably pretty burdensome to the department directors, but I think 48 hours should not be too much to ask. And that would at least get you away from scrambling to post an agenda barely 24 hours in advance. So that would be a suggestion of mine. Talk it over with Mark, see what you guys think. But as long as we're meeting on a daily basis, I don't know why we need to make people wait a week to get something in front of us. And the daily meetings works great as long as we're doing it by Zoom. I mean, I don't have any interest in, when we get to the other side, of driving into Steamboat every single day because we might have a 2-hour meeting. But I think this Zoom conference thing has really opened up a lot of our eyes to a different ways we can do business that we never really thought of before. And I brought it up last week about trying to schedule some vacation time. And the reality is, with a Zoom conference set up, I could go on vacation. And as long as we're only meeting for a couple of hours a day, I could still participate. So I'm quite happy about the meeting 5 days a week. And then as far as the rolling agenda goes, yeah, I'm with Doug. You know, some kind of a compromise in the middle there. And if we're putting all of our action items at the very beginning of the meeting, that should also help rather than saving action items for the end. So that's my 2 cents, Eric. I appreciate you thinking outside of the box a little bit and helping us come up with a system, but I think we can get this figured out without too much brain damage.
I think we've covered all of the legal aspects in getting to where we are right now. So now it's more a matter of a practical fit. What I was suggesting was that, and Doug, in particular, on Friday there was a discussion about whether 10:30 works or 10 o'clock works better. I know you're in a seasonal situation probably more than anybody else with your ranch opportunities.
opportunities or challenges, which is it?
Depends on how full your glass is, I guess.
No, I was just saying that, and it takes it right out of the middle of the day. So you kind of have to be either. So I'd rather probably start a little earlier and be done. And that way I can go out and do some ranch work afterwards, either that, or we start, later and I get my butt out of bed and I go out there at 6 o'clock and do my work as well. And, so I'm fine with that too. But when we end up, I can't drive for, an hour, a half hour to another place and to work over there. So either way, I'm fine. And again, the midday meetings have worked really good, especially during the winter when it doesn't come up. Sun doesn't come up till 9, but we're good. So whatever we can do.
My preference would be, if we're going to push to one side of the day or the other, I would prefer to push to the morning side, free up the afternoons. And another thing about the 5 days a week has really been awesome. In the past, we've pretty much had to turn down any Monday or Tuesday meetings, no matter what they were, because it was just, hey, we're booked all days, Mondays and Tuesdays. This has been great. There's been some Monday and Tuesday things we can attend now. And with the daily meetings, we have that flexibility to look out 2 or 3 days and say, hey, on Thursday, maybe, or like today, we were able to set it up to where, hey, we just won't start till noon so that we can attend a Monday morning meeting with the Western District. So I think this is all steps in the right direction.
And in working with Deanna and scheduling wise with Carrie and Dr. Harrington, and then accounting for the recovery team meetings in the morning, it seems like it'd be the easiest to just do a 9:30 start. And that would be right after the recovery team. And then Deanna did confirm with Carrie and Dr. Harrington that they can start at 10 a.m. Starting next week, that morning time slot was better for them also.
So if there are action items, they would be first heard, except on days when there's a Board of Health or meeting or update, from the public health side of it. And that will, and then the action items are scheduled at a specific time slot. The individuals responsible for scheduling it should make a reasonable estimate of how long their time takes, being careful about that. If it's 5 minutes, call it 5 minutes. Don't build in extra time and require the chair to move things forward. So action items first, specific times, but also ask them to be present 10 minutes prior to, so that can also move forward. But you understand, once the deeper you go in the action item and each one takes a little bit less time, the more time you're building into the cushion, right? So at some point it could be that you have to take a break and let the timing catch up. But this can change over time. We don't have to solve this 100%. Let's just give it a feel for what works, and if it doesn't, we can tweak it.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So another thing that we would need direction on in regards to that then is if you want the timing posted on the agenda to the public, or if we would stick with the timing that we've kind of been doing, which is just giving our staff approximations, asking them to log in, but having no times posted on the agenda besides the public health time.
Well, I think as Doug said, the public is concerned about the time too, and they deserve the ability to log in, not sit around for hours on end. They're not getting the same emails that the staff are getting, so don't have that ability. I think with a notice on the public agenda that says the item may be called up to 15 minutes early, it would give them notice, and I think it's probably reasonable. Look to the city. I seem to recall they did something like that. They said that they intend to move through the agenda as swiftly as possible, and that folks are supposed to call in X amount of time. I can't remember what it was. It might have been 5 or 10 minutes ahead of their scheduled item. And I'm assuming they still do it that way, but I haven't looked in a while.
Well, like you say, let's go ahead and give it a whirl next week and see how it goes. The only outstanding question I have is, are we going to get into the mode of designating public comment every day?
So the instruction that you guys had given us was that you wanted public comment on Tuesdays and then for Board of Health. So that's what the agenda reflects right now. If it's not a Tuesday or a Board of Health meeting, we don't have anything agenda-sized for public comment.
That makes sense to me because I worry about entertaining public comment every day of the week. Could get pretty time-consuming.
Well, when you say public comment, you could be referencing different things there. We've traditionally held a public comment session on Tuesday mornings first thing, and that was for folks just to come in and say something. Could be very general in nature, and typically was, and the board would not respond to that. It wasn't supposed to be, at least it wasn't originally intended to be, a discussion. It was supposed to be just that, someone coming in and voicing a concern or making a statement of some sort. But then we have a public comment where specific agenda items, quasi-judicial hearings, legislative acts are concerned that are, I think, different and should be treated differently. Folks that have public comment to make about a specific agenda item, say it's a planning land use item, they should be required or be allowed to submit their public comment via some process prior to the hearing. And I thought the planning did a good job on the planning commission meeting that they did, and they did require a submission 24 hours in advance of the hearing. And so when you say public comment, it's a little confusing because it comes in different categories.
You know, I understand the distinction between those different types of public comment, and the Tuesday public comment makes sense, especially if Tuesday is the day we're going to continue to do consent agenda items, because folks ought to have an opportunity to make public comment before we approve consent agenda.
Well, hopefully we'll get a little better on, you know, decision items if there's public comment on decision items so that we can figure out how Kendra can allow them in and we can recognize them and keep them, you know, because I do think they ought to be allowed to have some comment as well, so limited, so.
On really on anything that we're making a decision on.
Yep.
And
so I think that would just be the chair then opening for public comment, and I would continue to do that kind of the administrative hand raising like we have been.
Yeah, I think I've struggled with that a little bit, remembering when I should entertain public comment or when it's not necessary. But I'm a little bit more focused on it now. And certainly at the beginning of a meeting, I can always poll my fellow commissioners to see what they think, if we should be entertaining public comment on some items and not on others. So I think we can handle it moving forward.
And not to add more confusion, I'm sorry, I feel like I've already battered this topic, but there will be times when it's not an action item, but you want to start at a specific time. For example, you're having a discussion with some state group, state representatives or something like that. CPW comes to mind, or even some discussion with PDR board maybe, and the expectation on their side is it's a meeting, it should start at a specific time. So while it's not an action item, it's probably appropriate for it to start at a specific time. But if those are scheduled at in the beginning of the day, then you get a sense for how long should our COVID discussion be following all of those required meetings or discussion points.
Well, I think that's a good discussion. It sounds like we have kind of a plan moving forward. So let's execute the kind of a plan. Anything else?
That's all I have.
Eric?
Nothing further. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Doug, anything in particular you want to bring up?
COVID-19? Yeah, no, not well. It might be partially COVID. So, but anyhow, so we were all sitting in on the meeting and got texted about, well, you might have a meeting in Montrose or somewhere, Ray, and you had the question of whether we have any travel money. So yeah, we have some travel money left. I mean, we zeroed out the travel money, but we, you know, it's appropriated out in all of the administration things. So I'm sure we have some areas there. And again, I don't know if we need to go, we need to figure out how to go.
I agree with you. That was, yeah, Beth was the one that set that out. I was a little, I confess, I don't recall what we did. Have we actually made a policy or instructed all of our departments that there'll be no more traveling until further?
We haven't amended any of our budgets right now. And Mark's agreeing with me that no, we have not amended any of our budgets. And so, and we don't want to be abusive either. But if we need to go somewhere to do something, and again, I'm sure there's going to be, even we zero out our travel budget, there's going to be some other savings in our, because we appropriate personnel, capital, and operations. And there's probably going to be some other money out there and operations that could send you or me or to right. To Montrose for a CCI Western.
No, I agree with you. If we need to go, we need to go, and absolutely, we'll figure out a way to make it happen.
Yeah, even if we donate our time and money, yeah, that's all good.
Mark, did you have anything else for us today?
Commissioners, thank you.
Thank you. Well, then I think we are ready to adjourn. See you all tomorrow.
Okay. 10:30 again. Yep.
Yep. See you then. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.